The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marx from The Israel Report.
Well, I understand that by this voice, I'm not speaking to Kathy Kayla, but I am speaking,
you are speaking to Gary
Bloomberg.
Good afternoon,
welcome,
Rolene. How are you?
Baruch haba.
Thank you.
I can't tell which gender my Hebrew is today.
So, Rolene. So tonight and tomorrow, Jews around the world celebrate Lag BaOmer. So we also mark a year since the horrific tragedy at Meron, where 45 men and boys were trampled to death and hundreds of others were injured. So the first question to you is, how are Israeli police preparing so that a tragedy like that will never happen again?
Well, as you can imagine, the lessons learned from Meron and the Meron tragedy, which, as you just mentioned, saw 45 people who were killed in a stampede and thousands of others injured when the infrastructure started to collapse and the situation was overcrowded. We don't want a situation like that happening again. It's the worst, or it was the worst, disaster on Israeli soil outside of any kind of wartime or conflict situation. So the police have put in some really, really stringent measures this year. We want to make sure that everybody is protected. So they have put in some substantial limitations, including only allowing 16,000 people at any given time. Now, I know the number sounds enormous, but if you take into account the hundreds of thousands who are expected to converge on Meron during the course of tonight and tomorrow, this is a relatively conservative estimate. People will only be allowed around there for a period of about 4 hours, and to be allowed entry into the area, you will have to have booked a pre-ordered ticket, and the entry will be staggered. Only about 4,000 people will be allowed in per hour, and if you do not have a ticket, says the police spokesperson, you have no business coming to Meron. They will also not be allowing any private vehicles to approach the site, but rather diverting all the private transportation to bus terminals, which will have shuttles and ferries that will be operated and watched by the police, allowed to the compound. And not in keeping with any Jewish traditions, there will be no food allowed to be sold on site, because the lines, the crowding around food sources can also lead to potential disaster. So if you are going to Meron, make sure that you have food on you, or that you have a full tummy, because we will not be selling food on site, and there will only be one bonfire lighting ceremony. Now, I do notice that in and around Modi'in, where I live, instead of having the usual dotting of bonfires all around the city, we have allocated, or our municipality has allocated, one specific area for a bonfire, and that will be closely guarded by our fire department and police services.
Well, thank you. It sounds like stringent rules are in place. So, well, that's good to hear. So the second question is that police arrested members of an extremist sect earlier today who are attempting to sabotage infrastructure. What actually happened?
Well, what we do know is that a group of Israelis who are affiliated with an extremist Hasidic sect were arrested by the police, and they were allegedly trying to sabotage the infrastructure on Mount Meron. Now, we don't know what their rationale is, what their reason they have given, but this kind of behavior, especially in light of the immense tragedy last year that could have cost millions of shekels worth of damage, is taken very, very seriously. And an Israeli police spokesman said, beyond causing deep mental anguish to celebrants, any damage done to infrastructure on Mount Meron could pose a real danger to those who wish to visit the site. And, you know, we are, just to reiterate, we are expecting tens of thousands, if not more, to converge on Mount Meron for the annual Lag BaOmer pilgrimages, as we expect this time of the year. It's also very hot, it's very dry, so we're just trying to be as cautious as possible.
No, thank you. So the next question is, the UAE has suspended the death sentence of an Israeli woman pending an appeal. So what are the actual circumstances surrounding that case?
Well, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago on the Israel Report. Fida Kiwan, who is an Arab-Israeli woman, she comes from Haifa, was arrested for smuggling cocaine, which is a death sentence charge in the United Arab Emirates. This is a country that does not broker any kind of transgressions of this kind, drug smuggling into the country, drug dealing into the country. She was invited to work in the UAE by a Palestinian friend of hers, and she was found with at least half a kilogram of cocaine around March the 17th last year. Now, she says that the cocaine that was found did not belong to her, and her family used all channels as much as possible inside Israel, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, whoever they could, to try and put pressure on the United Arab Emirates or to try and negotiate with the United Arab Emirates for a lesser sentence. And it looks like that has been successful. She has had her death sentence suspended. However, she still will have to appear in court. So now her defense team are putting together an alternative kind of defense. Now, a lot of people said this is an extraordinary measure for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to go for a citizen who is known to be anti-Israel in her rhetoric. But just a reminder that she is still a citizen of Israel, and as such will enjoy, or maybe enjoy is not the right word, but will still have the protection of all our apparatus in this regard. So her family has thanked the Ministry of Foreign Affairs for their assistance, and of course we will be following this to see how this particular trial progresses.
Absolutely. So what does this actual suspension mean, really?
Well, it just means that for now the death sentence has been taken off the table, and now the defense team will recalibrate her defense, and they will see what kind of potential sentence or charges she will face now.
So that is, I think, leading me to the third question now. So an Israeli ambassador has presented his credentials in Chad. This is the first time in 50 years that this has happened. So are we seeing a shift in attitude towards Israel from African countries?
Well, we certainly hope so. We certainly hope that we are going to see a change in attitudes, and we are starting to see it with a certain amount of countries. So let's fill listeners in on what has happened. We have had our new ambassador to Chad, present his credentials to the President Mahamat Idriss Deby Itno. This was yesterday. Now, this is very, very important because the relations between Chad and Israel were suspended for 50 years, and they only resumed in January 2019. And of course, with the global pandemic, we haven't been able to exchange ambassadors or embassies yet until yesterday. So this is really extraordinary. And the Israeli embassy in Senegal tweeted out saying this marks an important milestone in the deepening of relations between Chad and Israel since they resumed in 2019. And the ambassador, Ben Bugel, and his team will work to strengthen cooperation. Now, what we have noticed, as per your question about changing attitudes, is that many African countries are starting to realize that they shouldn't have to choose sides between Israel and the Palestinians, or certainly not in this conflict, that they can still support Palestinian aspirations while supporting Israel and cooperating with Israel. These countries, and many of them are Muslim majority states, have realized that cooperating, doing business with Israel is beneficial to them and to the African continent. And we really wish that South Africa would pay attention to the shifting tide in Africa. We're not only seeing it in the Middle East, in our own region with the Abraham Accords, we are seeing African countries increasingly opening up to doing business and having bilateral ties with Israel.
Rolene, can I just ask you, I actually have been here, I've just been listening. Very, very quickly, why does Israel care about South Africa's buy-in? They don't need South Africa's buy-in.
Well, we care about having relations with as many countries as possible. We also, you know, can't forget that South Africa does have an important role to play in Africa, does have a presence in the African Union, is a BRICS country. So we see that kind of influence and relationship being important, as well as the sizable Jewish community in South Africa. And Israel wants to maintain good bilateral ties with as many countries in the world as possible.
Rolene Marks, thank you so much. And wish you a Chag Lag BaOmer Sameach. A happy Lag BaOmer.
Guys.
Thank you, Rolene. Have a
Take
good evening.
Cheers. Bye-bye. That's Israel correspondent Rolene Marks. And while we may not have a sizable Jewish community here, we do have a significant one.